The weekly consultation with Maxwell will be open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maxwell. Do not be combative. Be articulate and keep the questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will also be taken in text, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in the lecture, and please do not grab the mic. Please listen to the answer to your last question before typing another. Those who do not follow this simple rule will be red dotted. They, however, will be given one more chance for the follow-up question. If they continue to be disorderly, they will be red dotted permanently. If you'd like to listen to his previous lectures, our phones, we already have them run 24 hours a day in the room, discourses by Maxwell, God's words continuously.
Hello everybody, welcome to the conversation room of the mission. We hope you have gone to the website and the study of teachings, and you have come here with the question related to our teachings. There have never been a revelation that explains everything from the creation, from the second of the creation to the end time and salvation of man, and have shown a path that guide man to that salvation and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and unifies all religions of the world. And of course, this coming after this revelation has been prophesied and foretold for thousands of years, and now it is on earth for all of us to see, read, understand, ask questions, and become familiar with the teachings, and eventually realize how wonderful God is, and He has been sending all these religions to earth. We have been giving discourses and fat songs for last 24 years, and many topics has been covered in these discourses or fat songs, and they are in our website, and you can go and listen to them. The video of these, most of these fat songs, are in the website that easily can be downloaded. Just takes a couple of seconds to download them, or minutes. It depends on what speed you have, and you can listen to them, put them in your PDA or whatever you have that you can carry with them, or burn them in the CD and listen to them in your cars or in traveling or your CD player with you, and therefore you can understand the very base of this revelation that has been given to man and clears the confusion that truly has made humanity to a people that they do not understand each other. They have problem to realizing that God has sent all this religion and foretold and prophesied to come. Even the people who follow their own religion do not understand the meaning and of the religion and why this revelation has come to them. But if you truly understand our teaching, everything becomes so clear and crystal to you that you can easily see the plan of God, the way He thinks, the way He acts, how He has been sending the eternal divine path to humanity one by one. Ken is asking, is that why a lot of spirits are frightened because of the truth? Of course, the spirit of man or the lower nature of man is afraid, is attached, is not want to realize the truth, and therefore they create a lot of fear and actually reject God because they do not want to follow the truth. it has been like this from the very beginning, at the time of the Garden of Eden, to this point. And that is one of the reasons for creation of the history and revelation of these religions or truth to humanity, to choose a people who are interested and they are not afraid, they are not attached, they are the brave seeker of the truth, and no matter where the truth takes them, they are willing to go to that place. So they fear nothing, and actually they go where the fear fears to follow them. And at that place, of course, they accept the truth, they realize the truth, and they are not afraid of anything on this earth or the word of God that might be sharp and like a knife cuts the attachments and desires that humans have for being in this earth, and they accept the knife of the surgeons to take the tumor out of our spirit, and therefore we go to our higher nature. So when you want to do surgery, of course you're afraid, because you know you're afraid that the surgeon might not be the good one and might cut too deep or too little and leave some tumor in the body, and therefore you cannot recover from your problem. And by understanding our teachings and following eternal divine path and realizing how God, you know, is trying to make everybody become disconnected from this world and connected to the spirit, we can progress little by little, and following the eternal divine path become easier and easier for us, and therefore we reach a point that, you know, eternal divine path makes more sense than anything else. And of course this thing has been talked about all through our teachings, and if you truly understand the teaching, you can see that all aspects of creation has been covered from this moment of creation to the end time and eventually the salvation of man back to God. And therefore it is the most complete, most perfect revelation has ever come to humanity. And if we can make people see and understand that God has been prophesied, that all the revelation that has come to man have come from one God, then we will not have such a upheaval and destructive tendencies and opinion and ideas that you can see that is on earth at this time, and they have no choice but accept that yes, indeed, mystical paths are okay. Hinduism and Buddhism and Kabbalism and saints and Sufis saying the same thing. Know thyself to know God. Know God which is one with you, with yourself, with Atman. And if you know yourself, you know God, because they're one. They're the same thing. They're the essence of every man and woman and child. And then, of course, you also accept the Old Testament that God sent to show that how the community of light can be created, that God wants humanity to create a community of light, a community based on God and His laws and His Dharma. And they act in the community according to their innate nature, their Dharma. And by doing that, of course, each person has a specific place in the community, and nobody dominates anybody, but everybody has their place in the community to manifest what God has given them to manifest in the community. Of course, That's exactly what Buddha said. He said, Dharma is Sangha. Dharma means oriented nature, and Sangha means the community. And in order to create such a community, of course, sacrifice is needed. That's the New Testament. So we accept that God also sent Christ and New Testament, and He has a message in that revelation also. Also, Christ released the grace to humanity, and therefore anybody who believes Christ was the Messiah, the Prophet of God, will receive that grace unblocked and abundantly, because then they have realized, they have overcome their royal nature, the first two chakras, and they have gone to their fourth chakra, which is the beginning of understanding and realizing God. And of course, in the fourth chakra is when you eventually realize the Spirit of God and you surrender and submit to Him. And that brings Islam, and we accept that Islam and Prophet Muhammad was also prophesied to come, and also he has been promised to Abram as coming of his, from his child Ishmael, and therefore he is also a prophet of God. If we understand that, then all those people in those rooms that call for, you know, destruction of Muslims, they realize, no, he is also from God, and they should not use their own understanding, but God's plan and revelation, and see, yeah, that's a part of God too. And of course, you know, we accept Baha'is because they brought the concept of universalism. This is the path that we have to follow. This is the path we have to meditate on and create the community of light and sacrifice for it and become surrendered and submit to the will of God and become universalists. The way has been given. The path has been shown. The revelation has come. And therefore, we can see that the only thing is really left is finding the elects, and also those who come to the mission. They have the best path to follow and progress in it. We do not seek the spiritual experiences. If they come to us, fine, we enjoy them, we think, thanks God, and we continue doing the will, which is the eternal divine path. The next step, only thing is left, is come together, create communities of light, spread this message all over the world, and bring everybody together as one humanity, one earth, one God, and therefore we bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. You know, if we are still hanging, you know, to something that is not letting us to follow eternal divine path, it's not gonna really help us much, because that's what God says. That's how you progress, by getting engaged in the eternal divine path and understanding these teachings, then you will progress. And if we do that, the only really thing left for us to come together and create the communities and sacrificing it, realizing what is my part in this community, what can I do best to help to spread this message, what can I do best to be a productive member of the community, how can I be a part of God's work and revelation and creation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. If we concentrate on that, everything else falls in their place, and we will bring the kingdom of heaven on earth together. Therefore, it is a path, it's a way that has to be followed, and everybody should see it clearly. This is, of course, the spiritual of the mission, the explanation of the spiritual part of this revelation, which is the eternal divine path. Also, we have a social part in the mission, and that is the explanation of the four classes and how through history to this time each class was dominating the society, and how there is a cyclical movement in this social progress, and how we can bring a system that make transition from one period to another smoothly, and when those periods are changed, humanity will progress in a greater degree. So not only this spiritual aspect is being explained to humanity, but also the social aspect is been explained to them, and if they realize how this cyclical movement works, then they can easily create a society that infinitely will progress to a greater degree and create an environment that everybody is provided the physiological and safety needs, education and health benefits will be provided for everybody. So the path is given to the kingdom of heaven on earth, creation of the earth that everybody will have minimum, at least they have plenty of time to meditate, to awaken the spiritual forces, to create greater degree of a spirit to human life, and that is then where the focus should be. The focus should be, the goal of the life is to become divine. That is the goal of the life. That is the true goal of every person's life, should be to become divine. How you become divine? By following the eternal divine path. By following the eternal divine path, you will create the communities of light, and the communities of light are the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth, and the plan of God, or the hierarchy of the people who will bring the kingdom of earth will come from these communities. So see, it's so perfectly matched, and is just like a puzzle that fits together so perfectly. And if you understand the teaching in a very deep level, you see there is a perfection in this revelation and how everything works together so perfectly to bring an environment that everybody can progress in a greater and accelerated rate toward becoming pure consciousness, or the goal of life, or become divine, and realizing that really God exists in them. God and they are one. There is no separation. You don't have to seek God in churches, in synagogues, in masjids, in temples, because your body is the temple of God. And the prophets and the temple of God, of course, has God in it. Prophet of Grace, have you been in our website? Do you know anything about our teachings? You say you have a question. Have you studied our teaching at all? I just sent there a moment ago, yes. Okay. A moment does not give you the answer to our teachings. It takes around 7 years of intense study before you really can see the truth. But why don't you raise your hand if you want to ask a question in my microphone, or you want, you can type your question in the text to see what your question is. So if you want to talk in the microphone, raise your hand so I can give you the mic. And if you want to type your questions, go ahead. I'll just type it. That's okay. Sure, go ahead and type your question. And I hope it is based on our teachings. This teaching unifies our religion of the world. It has been prophesied to come. It is the way to salvation individually and collectively. It is based on the Word of God, therefore it is from God, and okay, the question is, what is your opinion of the Bible? The Bible is the base of all the revelation on earth. It explains how creation has been created, how seven revelation will come to humanity, and how the end time will come. Therefore, Bible is revealed to humanity so they can realize how other revelation will also come and where each of them falls. So the Bible is the base of all the scriptures on earth, and if you understand our teaching, you understand the Bible in a greater degree, because our teaching explains how God planned all these things to this point, and how He revealed the seven revelation that He foretold He will send. He sent the mystical path or awakening of spiritual forces through Noah, and Noah taught humanity how to meditate and awaken the spiritual forces, and his teachings eventually became the base for the teaching of mystical path, which is Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalists, you know, saints, Sufism, and other mystical paths. Then God chose Abram. Abram's son was Ishmael, and he promised him a scepter, a kingly spiritual domination, which is Messiah or prophet, and which came as Prophet Muhammad. And he also changed the name of Abram to Abraham, and promised that he will send somebody through his other son, Isaac, and he became as Christ, and on, and all the spiritual revealer came to humanity by God, and he is being told that how these things are gonna to be coming to humanity. The Bible is based on our teaching, the base of all the revelation and religions of God. Go ahead, Cyber Spirit.
Thank you. I typed it because these questions are a little bit difficult for me to express verbally because of the complexity. So if you don't mind, could you read it and give me your feedback on that? Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Well, the rule of this room, let me repeat the rule here. Whoever raise their hand have their priority. They will be given the mic. Those who type in the text should ask question one at a time. While I am answering you one question, you have to wait until I'm finished, then you can ask your next question. And if you don't follow that rule, you will be redacted, and but you will be given a chance to ask a follow-up, but if you continue putting questions one after another, again, you will be permanently redacted. So follow this simple rule. Please ask one question, wait, let me finish, and then we go to the next question. Okay. Cyber Spirit is asking, when one walks in a space, he's not really moving in a space, right? He's just experiencing a segment of his own consciousness. The ego senses the space as something out of him and separated. Yeah, indeed, you need to explain this a little farther. What you mean when walking in a space? You mean when astronauts go to space, or when you walk in the air on Earth? Is really moving in a space? I think you have to go up, come up, Cyber, and explain exactly what you mean, a spirit travel. Okay. Okay, you mean when we are on earth and we are walking, then we are not really walking in space? Cyberspace, you have to explain what your question is. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to understand the relative reality that when we go from one place to another in the physical world, the ego, of course, senses everything as far as space is something out of him, like he's going somewhere. But truthfully, the only thing that is really happening is that the mind, the consciousness is only focusing on another segment of his own consciousness, and he's not really moving. It just creates the illusion that he's moving. Is that right?
Okay, it's a good question. It's when you are asleep when you are in a pure consciousness, there is no time, space, or any of the physical senses present, therefore you have no conscious of any of these states, which is a relative truth and only will be sensed or accepted when we are in a conscious state of human, which is a state of relativity. And therefore everything is relative when we are in a waking state, but it is a part of the truth. It is not that it's an illusion or doesn't exist. It exists, but in a sleep or in a deep meditation or in pure consciousness, we don't have the awareness of their existence and being. Therefore, they don't exist for us because we are in the essence, and therefore their relativity does not exist where we are. If you're talking about the space and time and all these things are relative, you're correct. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I understood that. See, we're not really moving in space then. It's just our own consciousness, and we project the feeling that it's space. In reality, it's all one consciousness. This is related to the previous question. I know you have to go, I think this is as far as we can go. When someone looks at a tree, let's say in a forest or a mountain or any scene on earth, the view that person is getting from the ego point of view is a distorted view, correct? Now, if that is true, my question is there a real tree behind the false image? In other words, when we're looking at a tree through the egos, we get a wrong impression of it. But behind that tree, there's actually a real tree in reality. Is that right? Or is the whole image somewhat a false presentation to our senses?
Yeah, there is a true tree, and a real tree is there. But it's made of atoms and subparticles and much deeper and smaller particles, and eventually to consciousness. Therefore, it exists, it's there, but it is more than what we see. It is not the image that we have in our mind, but if your eyes are open, you can see in a greater degree in detail what it is. And if you are a scientist, you can see it is really made of atoms, and we think it is solid, but really there is great space in atom, and there is more space in atom than the solid part in it. And therefore, when we look at the tree, we think we are looking in a solid thing, but it is not really solid. It has more space in it than anything else. Therefore, our two eyes are the eyes of seeing physical world, and if you want to call it, it's deceiving. In one sense, it is, because what we see is not the whole picture or truth of the external world, but does it exist or not? Exactly. That is much more. Even scientists now know clearly that everything made of atoms. when we look at something, it is not what we see, but it's much, much more into it. You can break the solid or any factors to the atom and smaller particles, and now, of course, they're understanding there are even more particles, the quarks and all other particles that, you know, atom contains, and all that. We can realize that what we see is really not a reality. It's just a relative truth. Another question is, what are atoms made of? Well, of course, atoms made of, you know, smaller particles, and eventually, of course, as now scientists realize that in quantum physics, there are strings, they call the strings theory, and all those strings have different tendencies and create the base of the creation and eventually create the larger thing in the universe. These are the string are the same, but they realize there are more different kinds of strings. And they were confused again until they came with the theory there is only one base of the creation, one unified base that all these things have come from, just like a source of light, which we have five mirrors in front of it, and each of these mirrors reflects the source. And we, if we look at the mirror, we think there are five, but actually when we go beyond that, we say, no, there's only one source. Therefore, everything in the creation is created from this one source. Of course, they call this theory M theory, but of course, in mystical explanation and our explanation, that one source is God. And it's been, it consists of consciousness, and three creative forces. And if we understand that, then we can realize that the whole universe have come from that essence. Therefore, Adam and the whole creation made of consciousness and three creative forces in the universe. Go ahead, cyberspace.
Yeah, last question. So there is a real God creation in matter, but we see it falsely from the senses, correct? But there is a real God-supported creation in matter itself.
Absolutely. Actually, according to our teachings and understanding, God is everything. There is nothing which is not God. Therefore, the real answer to the question, what is atom made of? It's made of God. What is Kosh made of? Made of God. It's made of the consciousness and three creative forces in the universe. Therefore, there is nothing that you can look, touch, see, you know, smell, hear, or taste, which is not God. That's why you have looked at the universe as you are seeing God. You test your food as testing God. You have to hear sound as the sound come from God, but of course, all these things are in the manifested world, and they're not ultimate. There are the tests of God that is sweeter than sweetest thing in the universe. There's music of God that is the most beautiful music than whatever music you can hear, or if you get the best headphone and the greatest, you know, home theater still, the sound is not going to be even close to the flute of Krishna or the music of sphere. Therefore, there are greater experiences for human than this relative truth that we are so attached to it, and of course, many people have not experienced it. That is the goal of the Communities of Light, that create an environment that the people have the time and ability to see them meditate and hear the flute of Krishna and the music of the sphere, the taste of the nectar and all those greater experiences than humanity have no idea exist. So indeed, we can say God is everything. And if we understand that, then we cannot separate ourselves from one another, and we can see God is everywhere, everything, and we look at each other as part of God. And that is the truth. Therefore, this is creation is a relative truth. It is true, it exists, it is there. It is not an illusion, as some mystical paths teach you that this is an illusion. It's not an illusion, but it's not the ultimate, it's not the essence. The essence is when you realize that you are beyond all these senses, and in the purest form, you are in absolute bliss and oneness with the unconscious mind, which knows without even trying to know. And in a state of beyond human imagination, that's why God cannot be explained. No, the consciousness cannot be explained but experienced. Therefore, we have to realize this and see this universe is a relative truth. And if we do that, then we do not become attached to it. Why do we become attached to something which is not permanent? The only permanent thing in the universe is your essence and God. Does Buddha acknowledge the existence of God? There is groups in Buddhism that they believe in God, and there are groups in Buddhism they don't. And they say Buddha said there is no God. Of course, Buddha never said that. The reason these people think like that is because Buddha was born in the Hindu environment, and Hinduism, as you know, have many gods, many sub-gods and sub-sub-gods, and so many of them that it is very confusing and very separative theology or teachings. And just Buddha had enough of all these gods, and people keep asking them which god they should follow, and explain me what God is. Eventually he said, just forget about God and know thyself. And so the followers eventually came to this conclusion that he meant there is no God. But he wanted to refocus people back to knowing themselves, to understand their essence, which is the same as God. And they also wanted to explanation of what God is, and he said, you know, it's Nirvana. And they translated as Nirvana means nothingness, and of course, how can you reach to nothingness unless you, of course, mean to go beyond mind, beyond the three creative forces, and there, of course, you have no knowingness, doingness, and remembrance. And if you call that nothingness, that's fine, but still it is something there. It's not nothingness. That's why it's called Nirvana. Don't worry about explanation. Don't worry about reaching God or creating so many small little gods that separates you from each other. You all go to Nirvana that unifies all of you. And he wanted to take them beyond all those Hindu gods and create a philosophy that unify them together and make them to realize themselves, and start looking outside for a statue which is made of atom, which is a relative thing, to something permanent. Just like Christ said, you know, your body is the temple of God. And if your body is the temple of God, why do you need another temple out there with all those statues and explanation and all those things that separate man from man? So that is what Buddha was trying to say. So it's not that he did not believe in God, or he said there is no God, or it doesn't exist. But again, it is the disciples or the people who follow him interpret his teaching as mean he said there is no God, and the goal is become nothingness. Of course, you are God. You have the essence of God in you. How can you say God doesn't exist? And therefore, he was explaining unexplainable, and unexplainable cannot be explained but experienced. Okay. Was Buddha also born of a virgin? The book of Reed also states this. It could be. It's the belief of a lot of people who want to make their prophet or revealer very special. Therefore, if they see something sounds good in another religion, they take it and incorporate in their own understanding and religion, and therefore they can say, oh, see, you have virgin, we have virgin too, you know. You're not the only person who has that. But of course, Buddha's mother had a dream about Buddha will be born from her, and that dream, of course, came through, and it became the truth. But was he virgin or not? Who cares? The most important is, what did he say? What his message was? What did he brought to humanity? And the rest just man-made ego clarification. And that is why they create those dogmas and little things so they can, you know, separate one from another, and their ego feels, oh, I'm better than the other person. This is all ignorance. Go ahead. You see.
I just want to draw to your attention that a Buddha is not really a person. It's a condition, a state that you can reach, a state of mind. The guy you're talking about had a name, and I don't understand why you're calling him Buddha. It's just a condition that you can reach by meditation and so on.
Sure, Yeah, Buddha means the enlightened one. It's really that's what it really means. And when you are enlightened, of course, you experience God, you experience consciousness, you experience the essence, and that essence, of course, is not explainable. You cannot come to say, I can explain. How many people are trying to explain that essence for thousands of years? How many books people have written about God and try to explain him, and still people say, tell me, explain God to me. Well, if it was explainable, they have written many, many thousands of books about God, and still you are asking, tell me what God is. It's clear, it cannot be explained. But people have come and said and told us, God exists, God is wonderful, God is this, God is that, God is beyond mind. But still it's not explaining God until you experience it. It's a state of consciousness. It is when you become enlightened, and of course, enlightenment comes in an environment that supports you to meditate, awaken your spiritual forces. And that is where the communities of light come from, and are necessary to create environment that the people can sit and meditate, awaken their spiritual forces, and reach nirvana, pure consciousness, Godhead. You know, it doesn't matter what you call them. The answer is the same thing. It's a state of that you have to reach. It is where you have to go and experience. When you experience it, you come back and say, I experienced it, but I cannot explain it. Because it's not explainable. Just like asking a fish, you know, explain the quantum physics. You know, it's impossible for fish. But if a fish ever experienced, of course, quantum physics, he might say, okay, I know what it is, but I cannot tell it to another fish. Go ahead.
Well, maybe you can explain it, but the ones who have not experienced it will not be able to understand. So, there's no real reason to try to explain it, because how can they understand?
Even it's not necessary to explain it. You know, you just show them the path to reach there, and the path, of course, is being given now to humanity, and it's called eternal divine path. If you meditate, if you help to create an environment that other people also can meditate, if you give up yourself of ego in the community, that's a part of going to that experience, not to be self-centered, self-sufficient, thinking about the self all the time. If you realize that the will of God is to create the kingdom of heaven on earth and bring, you know, the communities of light on earth, and you know the will of God is that, and realize what is your place in that community, so you become closer to your essence, because you know who you are. If you expand your mind and realize God is everything, and there is no separation between any part of God, and become universalist, such a person has progressed in a greater degree to become its essence and experience that oneness with God. And that is exactly our teaching is. Our teaching is not to explain God to you. Our teaching is to take you. Or God, we call him God, but really it is the essence, it's consciousness, it's a state of mind, it is a state that you reach, it is the Buddhahood, it is that goal that we are here for. Therefore, the path is being given. So we're not saying, this is how God looks like, we're telling you how to get there. And when you get there, of course, you know what it is. We don't have to explain it to you, and when you reached it, you cannot explain it to other people. But if I experienced it, and you experienced it, we know both that we have had experienced it. Go ahead, Cyber. There was no sound, Cyber. We couldn't hear anything.
Sorry, I closed on the program. That should be better. When it comes to meditation, I find that by trying to quiet the mind or make the mind go blank, I'm not able to do this because I'm fighting with it. In other words, trying to quiet the mind just replaces one segment of thoughts with another one. So I've taken a different attitude where instead of trying to quiet the mind, I just witness it. I sit back, observe the thoughts as they come through, knowing that they're not necessarily from myself, but they can be floating in from outside, and I just let them pass without grabbing on to a thought. Is this the correct approach, or should I continue trying to quiet the mind, or will the mind quiet itself when I don't generate a thought, or I don't participate in its chattering, in its conversation, and I should just witness the thoughts as they go by without getting involved. Is that correct?
When you are witnessing the thoughts, still you are using the part of witness entity in you, and therefore still it is a manifestation which sees or absorbs or sees the thought to come and go. The goal is not to witness the mind, but to reach a point that mind absolutely stops, and there is no thought comes in or goes out, and it absolutely becomes the essence, which is in the equilibrium state, and has no tendencies of observing, knowing, doing, remembering, thinking. Therefore, the goal is to create the ability to control the mind and make it not to think. And that's why the mantras are used in meditation, and we have a universal mantra that has been given to everybody. It is Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam, which means the goal of the life is to be divine, that divinity, God is everything. When you use the mantra, First of all, you breathe deeply, therefore it relaxes your body. You relax your body first, and then you start breathing very deeply. Deep breathing, of course, brings greater prana to the body, therefore it becomes very relaxed and prepared to let you come in to your consciousness. And then you connect the breathing with the meditation. So you breathe in Hari Om Shri Hang, you realize the stillness between breathing in and breathing out, and you breathe out Om Nam Kevalam, and you realize the stillness between breathing out and breathing. That stillness between breathing when where the goal of meditation is. Then you breathe in Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam, I mean Hari Om Shri Hang, when you stop that stillness between breathing in and breathing out is where you want to be. There is no thought, there is no breathing, there is no nothing. It's nirvana, nothingness. That is the goal. And anytime your mind starts wandering away from this technique, breathing in, Hari Om Shri Hang, remembering the goal of life is to become divine, and realizing that the stillness and breathing out. The moment you forgot that your mind is still going somewhere else and thinking, you bring your mind back to the mantra gently. If you do that, of course, you will bring greater degree of control over your mind, because you are telling your mind or your subconsciousness, I'm not going to listen to you. You have to listen to me. You have to come back to my mantra. You have to come to this. And you will let, and the mind eventually reaches a state that a stillness become absolute in your consciousness, and the rhythm of breathing become the meditation, not the mind chattering. And eventually you reach a point that you go to nirvana or a state of essence, and the mind is not there anymore. You experience true consciousness. Go ahead, Cyber.
So it seems like the best way to is to keep the mind busy on one thought only or one concept, and that's better than just letting it drift all over the place and you just standing back and watching it. So it, basically, that's what it is, and the mantra has that purpose. It keeps the mind focused on one thing only, correct?
Of course, also mantra have come from the energy of the revealer of the mantra, and therefore you can pick up any word and meditate on it, but that word might be gross for it. It's not from the very deeper level of a spirit, and therefore it's not going to have the same effect as you use a mantra that is being revealed from a higher energy. And that is why we believe the Hari Om Shri Hang is the much better mantra to use than any other mantra on earth. And actually it is twice as powerful as the Om Mani Padme Hang that Buddhists use for their daily meditation. And it is twice as powerful. And there is a book written about that mantra, Padme Hang mantra. We recommend you use the Hari Om Shri Hang. You know, not any word, but also go through the process. If you go to the meditation room called Meditate on the Universal Mantra in the same section in religion, and listen to the instruction of how it's used, not only you bring greater degree of the control of your mind, but also it affects you in a much greater degree in a deeper level. Of course, we also give you a process to go through, and a lot of people have complained to me even the process itself is very hard. But if you are able to go through the process, you already have gained great power over your mind, because you think, you know, I'm sitting in my room and I'm meditating, expanding my consciousness. Oh, what did I eat last night? You know, oh, okay, what did he say? The mind goes, oh, I have to meditate. You bring your mind back to the process. And okay, I am sitting here, I expand my consciousness and on, and you go to a part, and then again your mind goes somewhere else. You gently bring the mind back to the process and say, no, I have to meditate, I forgot. And if you just make the process, you already have a greater control over your mind. If the process is hard for you, then you have to really go and work on the process first, and when you get to the point that you can meditate, realize the stillness between the breathing in and breathing out. That is the goal. That is nirvana. That is where humanity has to go. That stillness between breathing in and breathing out, between breathing out and breathing in, and realizing the energy in that stillness. And after a while, you're meditating all the time, because that energy or movement is always there. And you meditate, and you walk, and you talk, you do everything, but at the same time, you are with the essence and one. Therefore, the goal of the meditation is to still the mind and realize that stillness between breathing in and breathing out. And if you do that, of course, you are meditating all the time, and you're in a meditative mood. But that is not enough, of course. You have to reach to external world, create an environment that everybody also can come and meditate and realize that stillness. If we can create, 10% of humanity who can understand that the stillness in themselves and try to bring environment for everybody else also to reach that stillness, we have a good number to influence the rest of humanity to come and join the communities of light and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. So that is why the meditation has to be done in the way it's given in the mission, to have a greater effect than just following any mantra or just words. So mantra carry a specific energy, a specific power, a specific realization with them. So again, it's not taught. Anything you think still is a thought. You have to go beyond thought, put that oneness with that stillness. And that is with you all the time. And that is between breathing in and breathing out. Don't meditate on breathing in and breathing out. Meditate on that stillness between breathing in and breathing out. And breathing out and breathing in. If you recognize that stillness, you recognize God. You recognize nirvana. You recognize the essence. Humanity is being called to come and see these wonderful things together. And I hope this technique help you, because if you really understand this technique and follow it, your meditation will improve 100%, or maybe 1000%, and you will reach in a greater degree to realizing yourself. But of course, don't become attached to go to pure consciousness or essence. Because as we know, clearly in Bible says, if you do that, you will not come in. You will be spewed out of my mouth back to earth. So the next step after realizing that stillness is to reach out to the community and create communities of light. Communities of light, of course, is the teaching of the Old Testament, that it teaches that God wanted people for himself, that they follow his laws and create an environment that they become godly. And you have to sacrifice in it, which is the essence or the message of the New Testament. And you have to surrender and submit to God. When you reach that essence, you know in a greater degree why you have been created for, why you are here, what is the purpose of your life, why God put you in this earth to do. Maybe you are a good, painter, paint great things of the mission and these teachings. Maybe you are a photographer or a good businessman, whatever you are, you have been created to do something on this earth to accelerate this process in a greater degree. Therefore, know your talent and ability and surrender to it and bring God in a greater degree and become universalist. Expand your mind that everything is God. There is no separation between any part and the other part. With that, of course, you shatter all the narrowness of the mind. And, of course, the narrowness of the mind brings great suffering to humanity. And with these three, five steps, you become an elect, a chosen one, a person who will easily become a center of a spiritual teaching and energy for God to help humanity to go beyond where they are at this time. And this teaching, of course, has been prophesied, and the greatest or the highest level of a spiritual progress has been given to humanity from meditation, from prayer, from understanding, you know, revelation before this revelation and unification of our religion. And therefore, you are here to really, truly see the beauty of all the previous revealer, including Buddha, Krishna, you know, Shiva, Hinduism, Buddhism. So all of them are unified in these teachings. Nobody left out. No one on earth is left out from this revelation. They're all included. And their teaching, actually, if you understand our teaching, you understand the Buddhism or Hinduism in a greater degree. If you understand our teaching, you understand Christianity and Judaism and Islam in a greater degree. You become a better follower of all those revealers before this revelation. And therefore, again, we all have to go and study these teachings in a greater degree and understand what it's all about and realize, yeah, it is in prophesied to come. It is the word based on the previous revelation and God. And now we are here and we have received it. Now you are messengers of God. You are the second level of the messengers, and you take this message and present it to anybody who would listen. And but don't spend time too much. Those people, they don't. It's okay. Just give them the message and leave them to God. And eventually, maybe the seed sprout and give many fruits. But our job is to just give this message to man, to humanity, and make them to realize that, yeah, there is an essence that has been, you know, guiding humanity to this point. Even the history of man has been guided to this point. And therefore, if they listen to that essence, which some people call it God, Nirvana, whatever, you will have a greater grip of the reality of truth on earth. You know history better than historians. You know each religion better than any person in that religion. And it's just not a claim, it's not an ego trip that, oh, I'm the person who brought all this wonderful thing to humanity. It is to glorify that essence, to guide every man and woman to their greater degree of returning home, back to essence that somehow has gone out of the equilibrium. Return the universe back to that equilibrium that is beyond mind. There is no chaos in it. It's nirvana. It is joy and unity and absolute oneness. Of course, humans experience it every time they sleep. You know, the moment they fall asleep, they experience it. Have you ever seen anybody say, I don't want to sleep? You know, I don't like to sleep. Everybody likes to sleep. Why? Because it is ego somewhere that is very joyful and restful, and when they wake up, they are refreshed. That is what nirvana is, kind of. If you don't have any dream, if you reach a point you don't have no dream anymore in your sleep, then when you wake up, you're absolutely refreshed and all that. What is death? Death is a longer sleep. So we can see, we all experience all these things has been, you know, told us to experience. And if you realize that, you see, we got all the time. Or essence, or whatever, you know, you want to call that oneness. We're always with him. We are still, we go to nirvana. We meditate, we go to nirvana. We look at the external world, it is relative. It is not absolute. We are here to become divine. We are not here to become attached to this external world. And then we look at the people that are attached to the external world, we are wondering why they are so attached to this external world. It's not going to be there. You're going to be here forever. But this external world will not. Which one you want to be attached to? You, which is forever, your essence, or your body and your position and this and that? Of course, we don't say, you know, we don't preach that, you know, live in a life that you become a border on the society. Actually, we preach that you have to become a productive person in the society and contribute into it. But at the same time, no, they are all relative things. They are not absolute. You are aiming for absolution, or that essence which is forever, it's been here forever and will be here forever. If we can teach this thing to our children, to our society, to the earth, then we can create an environment that everybody has their physiological and safety needs taken care of, and they don't have to worry when they're born as a child. They don't have worried when they work during their youth and become a productive member of the society and contribute into it, and they won't be worried when they get old. And of course, as they meditate and they can heal themselves in a greater degree, we don't need all this, you know, institution for health and all that, so we can provide them healthy environment. And if you reach to their space, of course, there are infinite resources in the space. You don't have to scratch each other's face with a little oil and oil or little, you know, material thing in this world. So we can see again this mission has been given the way out. Even in the social level of destructive forces that is on earth. It can be done, but we need the elects, we need the people who have call to come and create the communities of light and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth and unify humanity and reach to a space and teach them these wonderful things that they need so badly to understand and realize, and stop becoming fearful, unhappy, angry of each other, either create wars or terrorism and destruction that we have on earth, and humanity is so afraid, and in the time that great tribulation have come to them. This is their cure. This is their answer. This is what the will of God is and is revealed to man. Now, the rest of humanity also should know it. Go ahead, Sarek.
Yes, I was wondering, once we attain experiences of God and see these higher things, do we fly back to being normal people?
Okay, if I understand the question correctly, what happens to the person who experienced and then you become normal? The sound was a little hard to hear, Sarah Rick. Go ahead and... can you try it again, a little slower? Go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering again, once we attain experiences of God and see these higher things, do we slide back to being normal people?
Okay, you're never going to be normal again if you experience this thing. But you... will come back, because that is the way God works, and those who reach pure consciousness or higher consciousness, they're not going to stay there. They're going to be sent back to humanity. And of course, there will not be, well, first of all, we have to define what you mean by normal. Who is a normal person? Really, it's hard. That's one of the problems with the psychology and psychiatry. They want to make people normal. But what is the definition of normal? Unless you say normal is the person who wakes up in the morning, go to work 9 to 5, and come back and watch television and sleep and go next day to work. Okay, it's normal probably in the West, but probably not in the village in the East who wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they let their, you know, animals out and they go to field and they do some work there and then have a siesta in the afternoon. And then, so, or what is the behavior of normal? Is it even a different culture? You know, normal is explained different ways. But if you mean go back to this earth and live here, of course, it's always a sacrifice for the person who experienced that essence to return to this solid body and come back to humanity to help them out. And that is actually is known as the greatest sacrifice that Christ do to come back, assume human body and live in this gross world. And it's very difficult for the person who has experienced God and then come and deal with the ego and the way human lives and be with them. But they do it. It is possible. You can come and experience the gross world. I guess what I mean was that if you let the tamaguna take over your soul again, mm-hmm. The tamaguna probably will not take over your soul completely, but you will have a very few karma probably created for you to come to earth and be attached to little karma so you can stay in the body. And otherwise, if you don't have any karma at all, you know, you won't stay in the body. You just go back to the essence. So usually such a people, of course, that Christ, when he comes, of course, he even doesn't believe that his mother is his mother. We call him woman, okay? But some people, their mother become very important in their life, and they become so attached to the mother that, you know, has become very important, you know, in their life. But to Christ, when his family come to meet him, he says, "Who is my family?" He says, "My disciples are my family. The people who listen to my words are my family, not my family." So you can see, Christ is not attached to this external world. Christ is not really of this world, but in the world without being of it. So the tamaguna really don't take over the soul. Your spiritual progress is the only thing that stays with you forever. Your physical progress, no matter how much you go to the gym and work out and get good muscles and all that, eventually when you get old, those muscles become even a problem because they become absolutely not working anymore and you're too heavy for your legs and your leg, you have another leg problem. If you accumulate a lot of, you know, wealth, when you die, you just leave them behind. You can take it with you. The only wealth that you can accumulate is your spiritual progress, which stays with you forever. So when you reach pure consciousness, that's it. You reach pure consciousness. You might come to this world, but you never feel you are belong to this world. This world is so gross and relative. So I don't know if the question is that tamaguna take over the person in pure consciousness. It doesn't. It doesn't really take over. That is why later on in their life they realize a lot of things that many yogis maybe had spent thousands of years to even have a little glimpse of them, but they simply understand this subtle truth without even trying because they have done it in previous lifetimes. So your spiritual progress is what you will take with you after you leave this body, and you have it with you, you return. That's why it said the goal of life is to become divine. The goal of life is to know thyself. The goal of life is progress spiritually, and that is the most important thing in everybody's life. I hope I answered the question. If I didn't, go ahead and raise your hand. Great, great. I'm glad you liked the explanation. And yeah, God is great. God has been giving the truth to humanity in the greatest degree possible. And indeed, we can accelerate our progress very, very fast and in a higher level. And humanity can reach greater degree of understanding this truth. So, again, go to the website and study your teaching in a greater degree. And as I said many times, it is a revelation that unifies all religions of the world. It includes mystical paths like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalists, saints in Christianity, Sufis in Islam, and any other teachings that says know thyself, to know God, know your essence. Your essence and God are one. Go beyond your mind to become with that essence. God cannot be explained. Any religion, any person tries to explain it, it is not God. Okay, so we're still asking, since there is no time in reality, does that mean that our lives are running simultaneously, or reincarnation at once? Okay, well, time is real. Again, it is not that time is illusion, but it is not permanent. It is not, but the ego focuses only in this segment. Well, the difference is in pure consciousness in that state. No relativity exists. Therefore, there is no time, and that is why it's called eternity. Eternity means it's been, it is, it will be forever. So, there is no explanation there. You just are. There is no time or space, no creation. That's why somebody asked, what, you know, explain eternity. Again, it's the same thing as explaining God. Eternity is not explainable. It's experienced. And when you reach it, you know, oh, it's eternity. Yeah, it's been here forever and it's going to be forever. The understanding is in a wink of an eye from the spiritual consciousness. Okay, I think we have to, me and you and the, in the mission, we have to synchronize our understanding, cyber spirit. Sounds like your language is different than our language a little bit. Maybe that is what the confusion is. That's why we, you know, I suggest you to understand our teaching and the way we say it, then maybe you mean something. The understanding is in the wink of an eye from the spiritual consciousness. Well, I don't know if it's a wink of an eye. If for some people, it is a wink of an eye if they have been meditating and progressing in many lifetimes. When they come to this lifetime, of course, they see the reality and the truth easily. For some people, it never happens. They stay in ignorance, live in ignorance, and die in ignorance. So which one is it? Is it never going to happen, or is it a wink of an eye? It is one of those words that has been said, but when you explain it in a greater degree, what do you mean by wink of an eye? For whom? In what circumstances? What do you mean that conscious is the, you know, understanding is in a wink of an eye? For whom? You see? All our human experiences are relative, understood in one instance. I guess you have to explain. Why did you come up and explain what you mean? They are all in one instant. I guess your language is have to explain and make everybody understand what you're trying to say. No present, past, and future. No present, past, and future only is in essence. In pure consciousness. When you are in relative world, there is future, there is a past, there is a time. We live at 11:25 Mountain Standard Time, and 5 minutes from now, our time is going to be up. So there is time, there is a future, so everything is happening at once. Okay, well, that is something that the scientists have to come up with and realize that there are other universes and other, you know, consciousnesses, and it can happen at the same time, at one time, but that is a specific state of consciousness, not in the relative state. In a relative state is not at the same time and linear time, right? And in the essence, of course, the past, present, and future can be experienced at the same time, and therefore you can know. Ego only focuses on a certain segment. Could be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ego can be actually not only focuses on one segment, it focuses in one specific situation. Yeah, well, you know what the problem is? You know, I think you have a very good intellect, Cyber, and you are trying to explain again. You know, your mind is very quick and intellectual. And all the things you are saying, it's just all explanation. You are trying again to explain something which has to be experienced. And when you explain, you know, they sound good. Yeah, uh-huh. Exactly. So, again, you are trying to explain unexplainable, that's why it's very hard to cope up with and explain something, you know, which said it's not going to be explainable. And we keep explaining and trying to understand it by our mind. It's okay, you can try it, but it is not going to give you an answer. It is actually might bring even greater confusion, because your explanation is not as my explanation, and my explanation is not another person's explanation, and therefore the confusion will creep in between us. But if we can experience it, then yes, eternity is of course absolutely linear, and it is in everything at the same time. It experiences everything at that second. You know, whatever happening in the universe, even to the smallest fish in the ocean, and the greatest, you know, black hole, at the same time, you know everything. Yes, exactly. That is why ego brings confusion. Ego likes explain. Ego likes to try to understand it by mind. And if you try to understand it by mind, you try to explain it, and you never understand it because it is beyond mind. It is not explainable. It is not something you can, you know, you can put it in the words, but words never can express the truth, which is way, way more important or more subtle than the mind itself. So you have to stop the mind, you have to start explaining, you have to start understanding, experience it. And of course you experience that easier when you create a better environment. Yep, that is when mind actually, some intellectual people, they reject God and become atheists because they want to explain God intellectually and they do not succeed. And because they don't succeed to explain God intellectually, so they reject Him altogether. Until, of course, the grace comes and they experience God once, like me, and suddenly say, oh, okay, now I understand, God is everything. God is beyond my mind. I cannot explain it. Of course, if you tell an atheist God is beyond mine and you have to experience it, it's very hard for them to accept that because, you know, that's all they have. The mind and intellect and explanation. Okay. If there is no other questions, we have a couple of more minutes left from our time. And this is the time if I have anything you want to ask or you can discuss with me. But again, the idea is to create an environment that the people can meditate, they have time, they have support of the community, so they can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually, and eventually experience the essence within themselves. Yes, a spirit and ethereal level is the same. A spirit is different than self or Atman. Atman is the same as God or essence. And okay, let me answer one question at a time, Cyber. The spirit is same as the ethereal level, so the essence or Atman resides on a spirit. That's fine. And the spirit is different than the self. If you understand that, then we can realize that self is reside in a spirit which is ethereal level. That is why people can do astral projection or ethereal traveling in ethereal level and go different places. So if you realize this different, and then go even go farther, the Atman or self is the essence and is the same as God, therefore really doesn't exist. It's the same as God. It's the illusion of separation of God that creates the feeling of Atman, small Atman with A, small A, and Atman or God with the big A. But if you really become one with God, there is no Atman, no self left. You and God are one. And if the essence is separate from God and is Atman, it resides in ethereal level which creates the chakras. And the chakras, of course, they create the sheets and on, you can read them in the a book called The Universe and Man and explain how they relate to one another. Go ahead, Trevor.
Now, in the glossary on your webpage, it makes a mention spirit and it gives a definition ethereal astral. And then somewhere else in the trough, it makes a mention of the Spirit of God coming on earth. Does that mean the astral or ethereal Spirit of God, or does that make reference to his infinite Spirit? Because there's a repetition of the terminology which confuses me. Thank you.
Yeah, when we're talking in the Spirit of God, we're also talking about the ethereal level, which God uses, of course, the whole collective of ethereal matter is the Spirit of God. So we reside in our universe, which are our chakras. You see, we have an ethereal level, which is our chakras, and we reside in them. And the Spirit of God is the whole collective ether of the universe, which creates the world or lokas. And God uses this ethereal level to reach and go anywhere in the universe, and therefore his Spirit comes to man, to humanity. So there's two of them. If you read the universal man, then that makes more sense to see that, yes, there is an ether for us and ether for the universe. Okay, our time is up now, and I hope that this clears some of the teaching for everybody. Again, let us humanity know that God indeed and all this reason, they should not fight with each other or create environment that it is not kosher for everyone to understand God and see the unity of our religions and unity of humanity. And maybe we can bring more humans together to understand this truth and come together and bring the kingdom on earth. Therefore, you are the messenger of this message to help humanity bring peace to earth. Shalom, have a godly week. See you all next week.